2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Matthew Biamonte joining me this evening in place of Scott Mitchell. He'll be back tomorrow night. Lots going on. Now, the Jazz, Matt, were, this was going to be a great game for them at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, taking on the Nets, because their sans, their superstar, Kevin Durant, who is into the COVID-19 protocol, has to sit out because he was exposed to somebody who was COVID positive. Fast forward to the Jazz being 3-0 on the road so far this year, and then fast forward again to now trailing by 27 points as they are in the fourth quarter starting up here with the Nets. So it is also weird if you're watching it on TV, because they, I don't know, whatever the TV revenue share thing that they're trying to do, and to see the Zions Bank and Vivint logos on the Barclays Center floor is like a little weird. I'm still trying to get used to that. But you know what? I mean, look, everybody's sharing. Everybody's trying to figure out how to keep money flowing in through the league, and but the Jazz right now trying to figure out how to now down 30 against the Nets there in Brooklyn. At that point, you go, hey, you know what? Just pack this one up and go on your long road trip and think of better days when you can come back to Utah. But it's early in the season, and that's happening. Also, there is a Heisman Trophy winner tonight officially. Devontae Smith, first wide receiver in a long time to win the award. I was not shocked to see this, just because of how weird of a year it's been and of how amazing. I mean, you could have probably given the Heisman Trophy to a handful of wide receivers out of Alabama over the years. But Devontae Smith was one of those guys that when you watch him, Jerry Jeudy was like this last year, where you're like, oh, he's above everybody else in every category, and he takes home the Heisman Trophy tonight. I'm not shocked by that, Matt, at all.
His stats were just ridiculous. 105 catches, 1,600 yards, 20 touchdowns. I mean, he put up unbelievable numbers at that wide receiver position. The one thing I was shocked by, though, was Trevor Lawrence coming in second. I thought Mac Jones would. I mean, it was close between those two, but Lawrence missed some time. Just goes to show, how many of these people watch college football, or are they just voting names? Sometimes it seems
there's
that
a
way,
little bit of that, like that career thing where you go, it's like a nod to their whole career or something. It's just like, hey, and he's leaving, and so you kind of go, hey, thanks for all you've done for college football, kid. You know, kind of. And plus, no one thinks to themselves, what place were you in the Heisman Trophy race? It's either you won it or you didn't.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And frankly, historically, I'd rather, I mean, if it comes down to a payday, you'd probably rather not win the Heisman Trophy and then go to the NFL. You'd rather, in terms of performance, those Heisman Trophy winners don't always perform. Although most recently, you're seeing guys like Baker Mayfield, you're seeing guys like Derrick Henry, of course, who are kicking that sort of stereotype. But moving on here, we've got some things to talk about here. Matt, of course, is the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. And appropriate enough that we have a new offensive coordinator for BYU football today. And also, you have a big piece of news. It was just so depressing this week to see that that Pacific game, the third game in a row for BYU basketball being postponed because of their California opponents all having issues, all on the other side having issues with COVID-19. And so BYU not being able to start off their WCC play. And then the WCC turns around and does an amazing thing and shows some flexibility, which is all you need to be these days for fans to like you. Just be flexible and schedule something. And in the league that has two kind of a massive super giant that is Gonzaga and the number one team in the country and a team that people watch on television in BYU, scheduling that Gonzaga-BYU game for this Thursday rather than the 6th of February where it was initially scheduled was super smart on the WCC. I'm not sure how excited BYU fans are right out of the gate to be playing up at the Kennel, but historically BYU shows up and plays that game up there in Spokane really well.
My only concern would be that Gonzaga played recently. They just beat San Francisco 85-62 on the second, so they're sharp where BYU has just been practicing for weeks on end. And so that will be tricky for BYU, but BYU has had such good success up there. I think one thing that will be interesting to watch is this game on both sides has had tremendous support from fans. And to not have that, what does that do? Does that open up an opportunity for BYU? Because you're not battling the Kennel. It's just a neutral game, basically. And so that's pro BYU, but that's such a long layoff. If Gonzaga hadn't played in a couple weeks, I'd say BYU had a better chance. But the fact that Gonzaga is finely tuned, I mean, they've beaten so many good teams. They're so good. And BYU has had so much time off. I'd be shocked if BYU won that game, but I'm with you, Alex. Credit to the WCC. And my only beef here would be, do you have to move it up? I mean, if some of the California WCC teams can't play, let's play BYU and Gonzaga four times, whatever it takes.
Well, that's
better for the league.
Well, Mitch brought that up too, where it was like, look, at the very least, if you're talking about like getting quadrant one wins or whatever, or at least building a resume for your conference, BYU and you could do a lot worse than BYU and Gonzaga playing each other a few times before this thing's all over. I mean, in the end, if ESPN is like, can we get a couple more of these BYU-Gonzaga games? Like, you'll take them. And the league could use them. And there's – look, you can just go, hey, yeah, 2020 and now 2021, COVID-19, man. We're just gonna schedule BYU and Gonzaga for the next 7 weeks in a row. And just see – like, it's going to be
maybe
good
sprinkle
basketball.
In St. Mary's.
Just have your own, like, Western Conference semifinal, like, series, best of seven games. You know, just do it because you want to watch it as a fan. It only helps your league to have those teams playing each other. And, you know, I just say that, look, if you're going to be short games and there are teams who are healthy and available, play them. You know, and if that's Portland, fine. And if it's whomever, just get those games going so that the schedule can get filled out, so that you can have teams that have 22 to 25 games finished up by the time that they all have to end up in Indianapolis for whatever the version of the NCAA tournament is going to look like this year. And if you're BYU, you're still fighting for a possibility to be talked about to the point of getting an at-large bid or being a part of that conference tournament championship. I don't know what that looks like, but it can't hurt to play Gonzaga more than a couple of times, even though, you know, Gonzaga is maybe the best Gonzaga team we've seen ever. And that's really weird to say because they've been so good. But even now, they seem like they're even more of a juggernaut that is unable to be beaten by these East Coast teams who seem to not be able to crack them. So I love it, though, and it's going to be here on KSL News Radio, of course, on Thursday. I mean, when you see those games and they go away and you go, oh, shoot. You know, and when people forget about it, that's what happens. People forget about you. People forget, especially with college basketball, Matt, because we already, with the ending of, when college football ends, college basketball begins for so many other people. And I'm one of those people. Like, I start to care when the playoff games dry up and when the national championship is starting to approach. Then I start dipping into college basketball and NBA basketball. And here we are. And we need both of those. We need all those things to stay relevant and for BYU to stay relevant, too.
Yeah, and also, though, I think it's beneficial for the WCC to have BYU play as many games as they can because right now, if the season were to end this second, Gonzaga's the only team getting in, according to bracketology major maestro Joe Lunardi, doesn't have BYU in. And so it's advantageous for the WCC to have BYU get in, because I don't think St. Mary's is going to get in. Best case scenario for the WCC, it's BYU and Gonzaga. So BYU needs games. Gonzaga's getting in. That's a foregone conclusion. But BYU needs some games. And so whether I'm with you, whether it's Portland, whether it's Gonzaga, even if it's out of conference, BYU needs to play some basketball games. And the sad thing is, too, they were playing their best basketball of the season before some of these games started getting postponed. I mean, they had beaten Utah. They had the signature win at San Diego State. Beat Weber State at Vivint Smart Home Arena. I mean, they were starting to round into form, and then, boom, they have a couple postponements, and now we'll have to see if they can shake off the rust against Gonzaga.
I was still going to get to this BYU schedule for next year. I was just fascinated by the quick turnaround by the WCC. Yep. We'll get to what BYU's facing in 2021 in their football schedule. Have you looked at it? Have you glanced at it and thought to yourself, oh man, back to reality here of those difficult schedulings that Tom Holmoe got into, and sometimes wonders, why did he get so tough? It's going to be a good one next year. Plus, will the college football title game be delayed? Ohio State doing Ohio State things, carrying over from 2020 to 2021. Just when you thought you couldn't hate them anymore, they show up and do a couple more things to make you get grumpy at the Buckeyes. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now. We'll come back to KSL's and Rival.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.